Steps to Personal Revival, Chapter 5, The Key to Practical Experience. How can I implement and experience God's solution for me? How should I pray so that I am sure of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Prayer and being filled with the Holy Ghost. It is important that we go on this journey through faith and that we ask with faith for the Holy Ghost. That means that after praying for the Holy Ghost, we need to trust and be certain that the Lord answered our prayer and that He already gave us the Holy Spirit while asking. Galatians 3:14 says, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Another translation, the New International Reader's Version, says, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit by believing in Christ. God has given us great help so that we can easily trust our Heavenly Father. We call it praying with promises. Praying with promises. First, here's a helpful example. Let's assume that my child isn't good in French at school. I want to encourage my child to study French hard. I promise him that if he gets a good grade on his report card, he'll receive $20 from me. The child starts to study hard. I also help him with French, and he really does get a good grade. What happens now? When the child comes home from school and comes to the front door, he calls loudly, "Dad, $20." Why is he so certain that he'll get the $20? Because a promise had been made, and he has fulfilled the requirements. In fact, this is normal for most people today. But it could be that at that moment I don't have $20. Can it be that God doesn't have something that He's promised? Impossible. Or it could be that I take my money back and say, "I read in a book on education that you shouldn't motivate children to study with money, so I can't give you the $20. Does God change His mind later? Impossible. We can see that when we have a promise from God and have fulfilled the requirements, then there's only one possibility, that we receive the promise. Through God's promises, He wants to encourage us to go in a certain direction. For example, receiving the Holy Ghost, which gives us God's power in our lives. He wants to make it easy for us to trust Him. Trust is at the heart of faith. Now we want to read some key Bible verses in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 for praying with promises. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God gives us a general promise that He answers prayers that are according to His will. God's will is expressed in commandments and promises. We may rely on them in our prayers. Then in verse 15, it goes on to say, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." Another translation, the New International Reader's Version, says, "If we know that God hears what we ask for, we know that we have it." What does that mean? Our prayers according to God's will are answered in the same moment that we bring them to God. But emotionally, we usually don't notice anything. Our prayers are answered by faith, not our feelings. The feelings will come later on. In praying with nicotine and alcohol-addicted people, I have learned at the moment when they pray for deliverance, they don't notice anything. They receive the answer by faith. But a few hours later, they notice that they don't have any craving for tobacco or alcohol anymore. At this moment, they have received the practical answer to their prayer. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." From the book Education, page 258, we read, "We need look for no outward evidence of the blessing. The gift is in the promise, and we may go about our work assured that what God has promised, He is able to perform, and that the gift which we already possess will be realized when we need it most." Unquote. Roger Morneau, in his book, A Trip into the Supernatural, says, and I quote, "The spirits, demons, would encourage people to listen to their feelings instead of the word of Christ and His prophets. In no surer way could the spirits obtain control of people's lives without the individuals realizing what was happening." Praying with promises opens God's treasury for us. Our loving Heavenly Father opens an inexhaustible account for us. Reading from the Desire of Ages, page 668, "They, the disciples, may expect large things if they have faith in His promises." unquote. Two groups of promises. At the same time, it is important to make a careful distinction between the promises in the Bible. Quoting from Morris Vinden in his book 95 Theses on Righteousness by Faith, we read, "The spiritual promises, forgiveness of sin, for the Holy Spirit, for power to do His work, are always available." See Acts 2, 38 and 39. But the promises for temporal blessings, even for life itself, are conditional on occasion and withheld on occasion as God's providence sees best. Unquote. An example from Isaiah 43, verse 2. "When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." God kept this promise in a wonderful way for the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. But on the other hand, the Reformers, Huss and Jerome, were burned at the stake in Constance. We could say that their prayers weren't answered, but nevertheless, weren't they answered in a fashion that we aren't acquainted with? Why? A papal writer described the death of these martyrs as follows. This is quoted in The Great Controversy, page 109. "Both bore themselves with constant mind when their last hour approached. They prepared for the fire as if they were going to a marriage feast. They uttered no cry of pain. When the flames arose, they began to sing hymns, and scarce could the vehemency of the fire stop their singing." Unquote. If someone is burned, they can only scream. These men's behavior shows that God did intervene, just not in the manner which is readily visible for us. This shows me that the temporal promises still have significance for us. Thanking for the answer. Now for another important aspect. When our requests have been granted at the moment we asked, then it is right to thank God for the answer in the next. Our thanks at this moment expresses our trust in God that He has answered our prayer and that we expect it to be fulfilled when we need it most. Some believers notice something immediately after they pray. But for many believers, it is similar to Elijah's experience. The Lord wasn't in the storm, in the earthquake, or in the fire, but rather in the still small voice. See 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. This was also my experience. After a long period of time, I thought nothing had happened. Then I suddenly noticed that many things had taken place in me without me realizing it. Change my thinking. This means it is necessary to change my thinking at this moment. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it says in Romans 12, verse 2. Now it is correct to say, "Thank you that you answered my prayer. Thank you for already granting my request. Thank you that I will experience it at the right time." This is not self-manipulation. With self-manipulation, I'm trying to persuade myself. When I've prayed with a promise, then I have a divine basis for my changed thinking, because I've already been answered through faith. In this case, if I don't change my thinking, then I'm showing God I don't trust Him, but rather I'm feeling-oriented. With this behavior, I'm making God a liar and will thus not receive anything. It is also important that I act accordingly, even when I don't notice anything. God always integrates the necessity to believe. He wants us to trust Him. Think about the crossing of the River Jordan. The priests first had to step into the water, and then the water divided. Naaman had to dip in the water 7 times before he was healed. Maybe you're saying, "I can't do that. I can't even imagine doing that." Please remember that there are a lot of things we can't explain. To this day, we don't know what electricity is, although we all use it. To this day, we don't know how children learn to talk, but they all learn it. Here's a quote from the book Education, page 170. "In the natural world, we are constantly surrounded with wonders beyond our comprehension. Should we then be surprised to find in the spiritual world also mysteries that we cannot fathom?" Unquote. Let's also think about Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Here we find clear prerequisites from God for this promise of directing our paths. Every prerequisite is also a commandment. If we aren't sure that we fulfill the prerequisite, then we may pray for willingness with the surety that the Lord will answer us immediately. From the book Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 142, we read, "But if you are willing to be made willing, God will accomplish the work for you," unquote. Something small may help. Do we know what we're doing when we have prayed with God's promise, having fulfilled the requirement and then doubt being answered? We are making God into a liar. Under no circumstances do we want to do that. In this case, pray, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Then trust. There's very valuable advice on praying with promises in the chapter entitled Faith and Prayer in the book Education by Ellen G. White. This material is free in digital format online at www.whiteestate.org. Praying for the Holy Spirit. I think we have the best qualifications for praying to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But we shouldn't forget that it doesn't have to do with making God willing to do our will, but rather believing in His promises and His trustworthiness. Promise for receiving the Holy Ghost. The Lord has given us wonderful promises for receiving the Holy Ghost. Luke 11, verse 13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Hasn't our Heavenly Father made a binding commitment here? The requirement in this wonderful promise is ask. Yet Jesus doesn't mean asking one time, but making a constant appeal. However, it is important to see the context here. We should also read the other texts, which speak about the same thing. For example, Acts 5, verse 32, "And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." The requirement here is obedience. We can see here that we can't support ourselves with only one text. We also have to consider the context of the promise. It doesn't have to do with being obedient once with something that is pleasant for us. Rather, it has to do with obeying Him, our wonderful Redeemer and friend. Obedience creates joy. Pray every morning for an obedient heart. Pray that the Lord will make you willing to do everything He wants and help you to accomplish it. This fulfills a good prerequisite. John 7:37 says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." This has to do with the desire for the Holy Ghost. If you have no desire or think you have too little, then you may pray for desire. It is a request according to God's will, which will be immediately answered. When we ask our wonderful God, He will create in us the desire and the accomplishment. We may also pray for the desire for a close relationship with God, to love Him with our whole hearts, to serve Him with joy, to have a growing desire for Jesus and His soon return and reunion in God's kingdom, a desire to read God's Word and to learn from it, as well as a desire to help and be equipped to help to save the lost. John 7:38-39 says, "He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive." Here is the condition. Belief. We see here that our faith in Jesus Christ, our trust in God, is an important prerequisite for receiving the Holy Ghost. But when we pray with promises, then believing is easy. Galatians 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We actually have a promise here, which is expressed as a command. When God wants me to walk in the Spirit, then that clearly means that He wants to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And He shows us here that when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, then we aren't at the mercy of our lust anymore. The Holy Ghost breaks the power of sin in us. See Romans 8, verses 1-17, especially verse 2. Through the Holy Ghost, the deeds of our body are put to death, as it says in Romans 8:13. Think of Paul, who said about himself, "I die daily." It is something tremendously valuable not to be at the mercy of the works of the body, see Galatians 5:18-21, but rather to grow the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. We can compare sin not being able to invade our lives to the assembly of binoculars. In order for no dust to get into the lenses, the room has to be accordingly overpressurized. This means that the air moves outwards when the door is closed. No dust can enter. In the same way, when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Additional information on this subject is in the section, Can a Person Remain Spiritual, at the end of this chapter. Ephesians 3:16-17 and verse 19 says, That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Maybe we don't notice any of the power for a long time. It could be like it is in nature. In the winter, the trees are bare, and in the spring, green. There are tremendous powers at work in this revitalization, but we can't see or hear them. But then we see the results. That's the way it was for me. I thank God that He gives me abundant power. Another example. We've known for a few decades that we have electric currents in our bodies. They are there, but we aren't aware of them. Ephesians 5:18 says, Be filled with the Spirit, or let yourself be continually and repeatedly refilled with the Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. The disciples had the commission to wait until the power came. They didn't wait idly. From the book Acts of the Apostles, page 36 and 37, we read, They prayed earnestly for the empowerment to meet people in their daily lives and to have the right words to lead sinners to Christ. They laid aside all their differences and aspirations to power, unquote. We may also pray for the fulfillment of this promise. No positive result? A young man was looking for counsel since he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was really struggling. The pastor asked him, Have you completely submitted your will to God? I don't think I completely have, replied the young man. Well, said the pastor, then it won't do any good to pray to be filled with the Holy Ghost till you have completely submitted your will to God. Don't you want to submit your will to God now? I can't, the young man replied. Are you willing for God to do it for you? Said the pastor. Yes, he said. Then ask him to do it. He prayed, O God, empty me now from my own will. Bring me into complete submission to your will. Lay down my will for me. I pray in Jesus' name. Then the pastor asked, Did it happen? It must have, he said. I asked God for something according to his will, and I know that he answered me, and that I have that for which I prayed. Yes, it has happened. My will has been laid down. The pastor said, Now pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He prayed, O God, baptize me now with your Holy Ghost, I pray in Jesus' name. And it happened immediately when he laid down his will. The great difference before and after. Even though I was acquainted with praying with promises for a long time, I used it in special situations and experienced wonderful answers to prayer. I thought for many years that it was good enough if I just simply asked for the Holy Spirit in prayer without relying on any specific promises. I know that many have the same opinion. I don't want to say that it is something wrong, but when I look back at my personal experience, then I can only regret that I only prayed this way without any promises. For a few years now, I've been praying daily with promises for the Holy Ghost, so that after my prayer, I have the assurance that I am now filled with the Holy Ghost. Through an experience on October 28, 2011, I realized the great difference in my life, before and after. Since I've started praying with promises, my relationship with God has become more intimate, and Jesus is closer to me and has become greater to me. This isn't just a subjective feeling. I can link it to the following things. While reading the Bible, I often have new and encouraging insights. In the battle with temptation, I can remain victorious. My prayer time has become very precious to me and brings me great joy. God answers many of my prayers. I have greater joy and more boldness to tell others about Jesus. See Acts 4:31. I have become more sociable with my own friends. I live happily through God's grace and feel secure in His hand. In a difficult phase, the Lord sustained me in a wonderful way and strengthened me from within. I realized what spiritual gifts the Lord had given me. Criticism stopped. When I hear others criticizing, I feel uncomfortable. The change took place quietly. I noticed it first after I'd spent some time daily praying for the Holy Ghost with biblical promises. Since then, I'm experiencing a different kind of Christianity. Previously, my life with God was often laborious and difficult. Now I experience joy and power. I'm sorry for the losses in my personal life because of the lack of the Holy Spirit, for the losses within my marriage and family, and for the losses in churches where I served as pastor. When I realize this, I ask the Lord for forgiveness. It is unfortunately true in this area that we can't lead anyone further than we are ourselves. We also want to remember that the personal shortcomings of individuals in the family and in the church add up or multiply. In order for others not to lament the same mistakes in their lives, I want to add a few thoughts. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says that through an intimate relationship with Jesus, we may, through the great and precious promises, be partakers of the divine nature. This also means that the Holy Spirit is given to me through the promises. You can compare the promises to bank checks. When we present a signed check from an account holder, we can withdraw money from someone else's account. As God's children, see John 1:12, we can daily withdraw the checks or the promises that are signed by Jesus. It wouldn't do any good to present our own checks, even if we had the checks made by an artist. We need the signed checks from the account holder. There is another reason which may encourage us to pray with promises. There is power in God's Word. Why did Jesus pray on the cross 3 times with words from the Psalms? Why did He defend Himself and rout Satan with Bible verses during Satan's temptations in the wilderness? See Matthew 4, verses 4 to 10. He said, "Man lives through every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus, the Creator, knew that there is power in God's Word. In the book Christ Object Lessons, page 38, we read, "In every command and in every promise of the Word of God there is power. The very life of God by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized." Unquote. What a wonderful statement. The power of God and His life are in every promise. When we pray with promises, we are using God's Word in our prayer. It says about God's Word, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void," Isaiah 55:11. I plan only to pray for the Holy Ghost with promises. When praying with promises, I know that after I have asked for the Holy Ghost, that I have received Him based on the promise in God's Word, 1 John 5:15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. When I pray without a promise, then I hope that my prayer will be answered. It's better to take the time for a prayer like this and experience a blessed day rather than to complain about the failures in the evening. I received an email which was written with great joy. Quote, "I never thought it was possible that I would make such a big difference if I prayed for God's leading throughout the day with my own words or if I prayed with promises from the Bible. Promises have always been very important to me. I've always believed in them, but I fail to claim them daily. My life with Jesus has gained a deeper, more joyful, more confident, and calmer dimension. I thank God for this." Unquote. For this reason, I have decided to share an example of a prayer for the Holy Ghost with promises. Naturally, it can be shortened. It is important that we learn to pray for ourselves directly from God's Word. But the vital point is that our faith is strengthened by the promises in such a way that after we've prayed, we can have the assurance that we've received the Holy Ghost. We receive the Holy Ghost when we believe what we pray. A model prayer with promises for the daily renewing of the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus our Savior. You said, "Give me your heart," in Proverbs 23, verse 26. I want to do that now by submitting myself to you today with everything I am and have. Thank you that you have already answered this prayer according to your will, because your word says that if we pray according to your will, we know that we have already received it. 1 John 5:15. And you also said that you would by no means cast out anyone who desires to come to you. John 6:37. Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Luke 11:13. You further said that you would give the Holy Ghost to those who believe in you, John 7:38 and 39, who obey you, Acts 5:32, who let themselves be renewed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and who walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. This is my desire, please accomplish this in me. For this reason I ask sincerely, Father, to give me the Holy Ghost today. Since it is a request according to your will, I thank you that you have given me the Holy Ghost now, according to 1 John 5:15. Thank you that I have received your divine love at the same time, because your word says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5 and Ephesians 3:17. I want to say with the psalmist, I will love you, O Lord, my strength, Psalm 18:1. Thank you that I can love my fellow human beings with your love. Thank you that through the Holy Ghost, the power of sin has been broken in me, Romans 8:13 and Galatians 5:16. Please save and protect me from sin and from the world. Give me protection from the fallen angels. Save me from temptations, and when necessary, snatch me and save me from my old corrupt nature, 1 John 5:18. And please help me to be your witness in word and deed, Acts 1:8. I praise you and thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Footnote. From the book Desire of Ages, page 523. Only those who will become co-workers with Christ, only those who will say, Lord, all I have and all I am is thine, will be acknowledged as sons and daughters of God. Unquote. Jesus himself wants to live in us through the Holy Ghost, 1 John 3:24 and John 14, verse 23. From the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, Volume 6, page 1112, we read, the influence of the Holy Spirit is the life of Christ in the soul. Unquote. The power that changed Peter, Paul, and many other people is also available to us. He also promises us that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, Ephesians 3:16. Being filled by the Holy Ghost is the key to a life of faith in joy, power, love, and victory over sin. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, 2 Corinthians 3:17. In a message I received, it said the following, and I quote, many church members daily pray the suggested prayer in twos. For the last 5 months, I have been praying it with my girlfriend. Not only is everything progressing in personal areas, but also in the home, relationship, marriage, spiritually, and in the church, not in a manner that causes great conflicts, but rather it happens in a quiet, natural way. We are amazed and see this as God's clarification process, which can make life easier in ways, since we feel God's closeness more and more. Unquote. Can a person remain spiritual? Yes. When we don't allow an attitude of unbelief to develop and we breathe spiritually, exhaling by confessing our sins and inhaling by making use of God's love and forgiveness and by renewing our prayer of faith to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It is like the relationship to our children. When a child was disobedient, it still remains our child, but we feel a disruption in the relationship. The child may not be able to look us in the eye. This disruption is corrected by confessing, but a person can naturally become carnal again in the long run. The Bible doesn't speak about once saved, always saved. Our sinful nature is still existent. From the book Acts of the Apostles, page 561, we read, none of the apostles and prophets ever claimed to be without sin. Unquote. But through a life with the Holy Ghost and with Jesus in our hearts, the power of sin is broken, so that we can live a happy and strong Christian life. Our righteousness is only in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. This important topic will be dealt with in more detail shortly. If we've become carnal again by a lengthy neglect of spiritual life or by the failure to breathe spiritually, then we can know that a compassionate Redeemer is waiting for us. It is important that we know the way that we can be renewed by God's grace and hopefully lead a spiritual life forever. No one need remain carnal. But remember, both personally and in a general way, what Randy Maxwell said. I quote from his book, If My People Pray. Do we think that the resuscitation of God's church from near spiritual death can be accomplished without effort? Unquote. The abundant life here and eternal life, the salvation of many people and our thanks for Jesus' great sacrifice is worth the effort. The crucial thing is meeting our Lord in the morning for worship. It is here that He equips us with power. From the book Steps to Christ, page 73, we read the following about the Apostle John. Day by day, his heart was drawn out toward Christ, until he lost sight of self and love for his Master. His resentful, ambitious temper was yielded to the molding power of Christ. The regenerating influence of the Holy Spirit renewed his heart. The power of the love of Christ wrought a transformation of character. This is the sure result of union with Jesus. When Christ abides in the heart, the whole nature is transformed. Unquote. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. Psalm 119, verse 18. Thank you that you are leading me, and I can say, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Psalm 119, verse 162.